Good afternoon. We have a couple minutes time, but I can start to give some introductory words. My name is Uta Albrecht. I'm from the Southwest Florida Research and Education Center, University of Florida, and I'll be the moderator today. Most of the speakers are here, so we have been instructed to tell you to turn your cell phones off, and also we have to be very restrictive with the time. We have 15 minutes time for each presentation. Out of courtesy to your colleagues in the following session, we need to strictly enforce the time. So after 12 minutes, I will stand up and let you know you have 3 minutes time. And if you still talk after 15 minutes, I'm told I have to cut you off. So I apologize in advance if that's going to happen. And there is no remote control. You have to use the arrow keys to move the slides forwards and back. And if you want to use the pointer, you have to use the mouse pad. Oh yeah, there it is. So, and it is recorded if you have agreed to do so. So if someone asks a question afterwards, please repeat the question into the microphone, so that will be recorded too. And I guess I might as well start. We're almost there. I will stop myself if you want to stop me too and interrupt me. Okay. I'll try to do a speed talk. Okay. So I'll be talking about rootstock effects on the metabolite profile of field-grown navel orange or citrus sinensis trees, and acknowledge my co-workers that are part of the... I'm not going to read all the names. You have it in your abstract. So we all, as citrus people, we all are familiar with the importance of rootstocks. A commercial citrus tree usually consists of two parts, a below-ground part, or the rootstock, and an above-ground part, the scion. Both are joined in a process called crafting, and we can see the craft union still on an adult tree. And rootstock can impart important characteristics to the scion. Most known are like tolerance or resistance to different diseases, or unfavorable abiotic conditions, drought or flooding, cold or frost or high salinity. And it also has horticultural effects, especially tree size, reduction of juvenility, fruit quality and yield. So there's a lot of effects that rootstock can exert on the scion, and not much is studied, though, about the biochemical influence of rootstock on the scion. There are some studies in rosaceous tree, fruit tree crops, especially in cherry trees or apple trees, but not so much about citrus. So the objectives of this study were to study the impact of rootstock genetic background on metabolic profiles, and hopefully to identify some potential biochemical markers that we can use identify rootstock traits or that are associated with specific traits. And most importantly, can rootstock influence the metabolic composition of the scion in a crafted tree? So, and this is part of a larger study where we investigate different rootstock varieties and in an uncrafted and in a crafted combinations. So the plant material for this study were field-grown, 3-year-old Caracara navel orange trees, or Citrus sinensis. They were crafted on four different rootstocks, Cleopatra mandarin, rich pineapple, sweet orange, sour orange, and Swingle citromello, which is a hybrid of grapefruit, and Poncyrus trifoliata. Trees were located at the USDA research farm near Leesburg in Florida. The trees were planted in a randomized complete in a block design with single tree reps. Before collecting leaf samples and root samples, we tested the trees for HLB and for CTV to make sure that we only had pathogen-free material. We selected then six trees from each Caracara or rootstock variety. And we collected mature leaves and fibrous roots from each tree and froze the tissue immediately in liquid nitrogen until processing. The tissue were extracted in methanol, chloroform, and water, and the tried supernatants were different things were done to it, but in the end we did an untargeted metabolic profiling as opposed to a targeted. And this is done via gas chromatography, time-of-flight mass spectrometry, and we usually send the samples to the West Coast Metabolomic Center at UC Davis. There they use the BIN-based metabolomic database that is created by the center. to identify the metabolites, and we did the data analysis using MetaboAnalyst, which is an online software that's available to everyone. We extracted significant metabolites using a cutoff of P as 0.05 and did a false discovery rate cutoff at 0.1. So overall, we were able to identify 500 compounds, and of those, only 147 were identified by chemical structure. And this is pretty typical for untargeted metabolomic studies. And interestingly is that the most significant and dramatic differences that we find in these studies are usually among the groups of these chemically unidentified metabolites. And when I say unidentified, that doesn't mean we don't know anything about them. We have the hardly visible here. We have the spectrometric profiles there. And we also, in the database at UC Davis, there you can tell how often the compound was detected in different organisms. And you can see this particular compound was mainly detected in citrus leaves and in roots, but you also see some different colors. And so this particular compound was also detected in mice, for example. So these unidentified metabolites can potentially provide an enormous resource for discovery of new compounds with interesting biological functions. So on the left here, you see a heat map. So when we analyze all these compounds, we see that the most striking differences are between the leaf tissue, which is not further surprising. So we see some. The heat map indicates compounds in high concentrations are red, and the darker blue, that means the lower the concentration. And you can see here in the PLSDA plot on the right, PLSDA stands for a partially square discriminant analysis that we conducted. You can see here too that the samples from the roots separated clearly from the leaf samples, and within the root samples, you can also see in this plot already that the rootstocks differentiate. Or separate. So we found that most metabolites were in higher concentrations in the leaves, nearly 200 compared with the roots, and among those were many intermediates of plant primary metabolism, for example, glucose-6-phosphate, sucrose, raffinose, but we also detected other compounds that are associated with secondary plant metabolism, for example, dopamine, quinic acid, and shikimic acid that are usually associated with plant defense. We also found compounds that are higher in higher concentration in the roots, but there were much less, 73, and independent of the rootstock, that is. And some of these compounds were, for example, citrulline, myo-inositol, hexitol, or galactinol, and these compounds are usually associated with abiotic stress responses. So when we take a closer look at the root metabolites, we identified 48 compounds that differed significantly among the four different rootstocks. Of those, 14 were chemically identified. And on the left, again, you see the PLSDA scores plot, and the different colors indicate the different rootstocks. And it's obvious that Cleopatra and Swingle separated most from one another, and that is associated with their genetic background. Cleo is a mandarin, and Swingle has a Poncyrus trifoliata in its parentage, so that's further distant. And sour orange and rich pineapple, the green bubbles and the blue bubbles, they are much closer related. And on the right, I just showed it's a PLSDA loading plot, and I marked the compounds that are most responsible for the variation in the data set. And you can see that most of the compounds were chemically unidentified ones. Here we see a list of root metabolites of the with known chemical identities, and I've highlighted in red those that have the highest VIP score. VIP score stands for variable in importance in projection. So the higher the VIP score, the more important the compound is. And we see some interesting ones, for example, allantoic acid and gamma tocopherol, which are highest in highest concentrations found in Swingle roots. And we can also see some allantoic acid is interesting because it is associated with nitrogen transport from roots to leaves. And gamma tocopherol is also very interesting. It's a lipophilic antioxidant, and it is associated with carbohydrate metabolism. It was found in some studies, at least. And that may be potentially interesting in respect to HLB tolerance that is found, that since trifoliate oranges are usually associated with higher tolerance to HLB. But we have to do some more studies on this. And we also find some other compounds that are not necessarily higher in Zwingel, like raffinose was highest in Cleopatra, and myo-inositol too. So on here, I just want to illustrate this with some box plots. Again, allantoic acid, conduritol beta epoxide, and gamma tocopherol. We see the clearest differences between Zwingel on one side and the other three rootstocks on the other side. And similar picture, I have listed some three unknown compounds on the bottom. And what you can also see for these unknowns is that the sample variation is usually much tighter. So it's very interesting. And yeah, you can see most of the difference again between Zwingel and the other three rootstocks, except for the bottom right, we have one compound that's higher in Cleopatra. So for the leaves, we found 226 compounds that differed significantly between leaves on the different rootstocks. Remember, it's the same scion variety. And of those, 70 were chemically identified. You see on the left the PLSDA scores plot. This time, there is some sample separation, but it's not as clear as the roots root samples were. But you can still see that Cleopatra samples and Zwingel separated most from one another. And on the right, the loading plot with some of the most important compounds. And here a list of some of these known compounds. And again, highlighted in red are the ones with highest VIP scores. Again, we see conduritol beta epoxide. And this is a very interesting compound because it is it's a an alpha and beta glucosidase inhibitor. And these glucosidases are important enzymes that are associated with plant defense response. So it may be worthwhile to look into that compound in a little more detail in the different rootstock varieties. And we also have, and for the leaves, it seems like there's more variation between other rootstocks, not just between Zwingel and Cleopatra, even though we do see those differences for succinic acid and saccharic acid, for example. Here again, the box plots, you can see again a little bit tighter for the unknown compounds on the bottom, but you can see there are some, yeah, most of them differences are between Cleo and the other rootstocks or all between Zwingel and the other rootstocks. So one of the important questions that we were wondering about was, do metabolites that are highly discriminating in the roots show the same discriminating pattern in the leaves of a crafted citrus tree? Or we can also ask if do metabolites that are produced in high concentrations in the roots of a specific rootstock, can they move from the roots to the leaves? This is especially important for like disease resistance, for example, for HLB. So here I have the box plots and I compare some of the compounds that were found most discriminating in the different rootstocks. And you can see here we have three compounds where they were found in real high concentrations in Zwingel in the roots. But unfortunately, we do not see, or surprisingly maybe, we do not see the same pattern for the leaves. We have here this compound that's most high in the other three rootstocks except for Zwingel, but we do not see the same pattern for the leaves. And these two compounds, hexitol and conduritol beta, is in lowest concentration found in the leaves of Cleopatra, but in the roots it's lowest in Zwingel. So so that was kind of disappointing. But to summarize, I'm running out of time. So we found hundreds of metabolites in leaves and in roots of crafted citrus trees. Less than one-third of the metabolites were chemically identified. The most prominent differences are usually for samples in the group of chemically unknown metabolites. The largest differences were found between leaves and roots, independent of the rootstock. Rootstocks can be differentiated based on their root metabolic profile, and usually the metabolic differences are most distinct between rootstocks of a more distant genetic origin. And importantly, we also found rootstock-specific profiles in the leaves of a crafted tree, so that demonstrates that rootstock can indeed affect the scion metabolically. However, root metabolites that discriminated most among the rootstocks did not display the same discriminating pattern in the leaves. So this suggests either tissue specificity or that there may be a limited movement of compounds across the craft union, which may have something to do with the different genetic between that movement between different genetic organisms is not that efficient. And that concludes my presentation, and I want to thank all the people in my lab and also the Citrus Research and Development Foundation for funding this project. And I have maybe time for one question. Yes, Ed.
Is there someone else behind you with a question?
I don't see anyone.
So, where are you going next with this? Is there advancement in the ability to anticipate function of unknown metabolites?
Yeah, so the question was, where do I go from here, and if there are ways to identify these unknown metabolites? Yeah. So, yeah, that's the question I'm asking myself. So I was hoping we see, the goal is for all of us that work in citrus, so you have the HLB problem, so, and there's a lot of talk about that rootstocks can induce resistance into a tree. So if there's indeed a compound that makes a rootstock more resistant, so based on these studies, it may be questionable if this compound can even move into the leaves. That doesn't mean that rootstock is not important, however. So, but these were just a few compounds. The large majority of the unknown compounds, it is possible to identify them. I am told, I'm not a chemist, but it's very laborious, but it can be done. So, and we're hoping, I'm going to work with a chemist, that she has the resources for it, that we can select some that of most interesting. And if you saw the little diagram at the beginning in the database at West Coast Center, some of the compounds that we identified, that are not identified but that we found in our studies, have so far only been found in citrus. So I'm really dying to know what some of these compounds are, just of curiosity. So, and it's interesting too, some of these compounds are not only in citrus, they're in from mice to rats to human beings, and it's quite fascinating. Some you find in, yeah, so it's a lot of fun, but hopefully we'll get some more interesting stuff out of it. And like I said, I have other combinations, crafted, uncrafted, and many more rootstocks where we know more about the tolerance. And I'm out of time.